2007 was the second worst in history for wildfires in the U.S. 9 million acres were scorched, and Southern California bore the brunt of it. Most of the property damage was in San Diego, where wildfires in wilderness areas spread to suburban neighborhoods. 500,000 people were evacuated, and Shannon Denton was among them. She says her neighborhood was cleared out at 4 in the morning.
We were scared because we didn't. Luckily, we had all our pictures organized, so we just took most of our pictures and our video stuff, grabbed our kids at the last minute, and like left within a half hour. So it was scary, very scary.
These days, Denton's subdivision is busy. There are bulldozers demolishing burnt-out remains of old houses, and construction crews are building new ones on every single street. Denton's thankful her house was spared, but she says even if it had burned down, she'd take the risk of it happening again because she likes living here.
It's pretty close to nature. There's a lot of, just walking, hiking, a lot of mountains that you can take trails and different things.
Despite the risk of fire, people like Denton don't want to leave. Some of the 18,000 homes lost in San Diego last fall were built in places where wildfires had burned only 4 years earlier. And that's not unusual. The U.S. Fire Administration says nearly 40% of new home development across the country is in places where residential homes and wilderness meet, and thus are more prone to fire.
They have a right to build that single-family home.
That's Jeff Murphy of San Diego County's Department of Planning.
As a jurisdiction, it's our responsibility to have codes and ordinances that are in place to make sure that there's minimal structural damage as a result of wildfire and minimize the risk of loss of life.
Murphy says people are going to live where they want to. All government can do is require smart development. And San Diego's building codes are the most restrictive in California. They were reevaluated after the 2003 wildfires when 7% of the homes were destroyed. In the 2007 wildfires, Murphy says the new codes reduced that loss to 1%.
Even though we had a lot of structure loss during these fires, what these numbers are showing us is that our codes are working.
And Americans aren't just building in areas at risk of fire. We build in flood zones, too. FEMA estimates around 10 million people in the U.S. are at risk of flooding. And according to the United Nations, we saw the most floods of any country last year. Roger Kennedy is a former director of the National Park Service, and he says this kind of risky living costs U.S. taxpayers about $2 billion a year in firefighting and rebuilding costs. The total property damage hovers around $20 billion. Kennedy says people are choosing to build and live on land that's in danger-prone areas because they're not responsible for the true costs. Insurance, guaranteed mortgages, and federal disaster relief have reduced the personal financial risk.
People wouldn't settle in places from which they knew they would not be rescued and where the taxpayers wouldn't pick up, or the insurance company, which is in a sense the same thing, wouldn't pick up the tab.
Kennedy says knowing about a home's potential risk might reduce the material costs of fires and floods, and it might save lives. But he says people have to want to know their risks, and even then they might choose to ignore it. Because for many, the enjoyment their property brings far outweighs the occasional act of nature. For the Environment Report, I'm Lisa Ann Pinkerton.